live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, what are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips? As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm going to skip yesterday's review. We'll do that later when we get time. But for now, we got Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com on your radio. We also have Kirk Cosby in the house. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, thanks very much. Glad to be with you guys.
Welcome, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You are very welcome. Both of you are sounding tip-top, perfect shape. Let's kick it off with an honest money report. What's gold looking like, Brian?
Gold this morning is $1,787.80.
Wow, that's up a little bit, right?
Jumped up a bit, yep. Market's moving up.
$1,787.80. Silver?
Yep. $2,654.
All right, there you have it, Kurt. I guess a silver eagle, silver dollar still costs what? Right around $37, $38?
$39.
Ooh, the spread getting bigger as the demand for honest money grows, is how I would put it. All right, we got to have the rhodium for Kurt.
$28,000
an ounce, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Is that per ounce, Brian?
Yep.
That's per ounce.
Is there anything more expensive per ounce than that?
Oh, well, that's probably one of the
well, the federal
there.
Government is pretty expensive per ounce.
That's right. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's a lot of...
Yeah, that's... Wow. Yeah, government, yeah. You know, most ounces are just an ounce, but the government even has their own special ounce, you know? All right, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I look at those numbers and I'm just shocked, though. You know, silver, $26.54. That is spot per ounce. But it costs, in current money today, a silver eagle silver dollar created by the United States Mint that says $1 on it costs $39 to buy.
Yeah.
Wow. That is just shocking in a reality check, if you will, to me. Now, interestingly enough, there's a few headlines about Bitcoin. I don't know if you saw them. First one says this. Bitcoin drops 15% days after a record high. Did you see that, Brian?
I didn't.
All right. Well, I find this quite interesting. They say Bitcoin dropped as much as 15%. It's the biggest drop in a single day since February. They say just days after hitting record highs. I find that interesting as well. It's unclear what caused the sell-off, they say. The plunge in the world's most popular digital currency came after reports attributed that the U.S. Treasury may take action against money laundering. They say that's carried out, money laundering carried out using digital assets. That's according to Bloomberg. Now, the U.S. Treasury didn't immediately respond to requests for comment on the speculation. Now, they say a blackout in China's Xinjiang region, which reportedly powers a lot of the Bitcoin mining servers, was blamed for the massive sell-off. That's according to Reuters. I guess they say in 24 hours, the value of a Bitcoin has shed 9.5% falling from, and listen to this, and this is why I'm spending so much time on it, $61,306.11 to only $52,000. That's according to CoinEcho, a crypto market data site. Now, I look at that, and I'm shocked about that a little bit because, you know, I've had friends that tell me, hey, as soon as Bitcoin gets to be a reasonable number, I'll have plenty of money to support you and Radio Sam. It'll be incredible. I mean, it reached $61,000 and then it dropped to $52,000. How high does it need to get, Kurt?
Well, it's a great question, Sam. And, you know, once again, we would remind folks to don't dip your toe in the crypto. But anyway, as you've always said, I was looking at Forbes. They've, they'd say, well, it's down because all these guys sold off, you know, when they hit the high. And I'm like, well, isn't that what they always tell you? Sell high, right? Isn't it? But anyway,
buy low. Well, that's what you're supposed to do, buddy. Come on.
Anyway, they say JP Morgan analysts have warned that if the Bitcoin price doesn't regain ground around above 60,000 soon, Bitcoin's momentum signals will collapse. So collapse, I guess you could say, is imminent, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and then they say this. Despite the declines, Bitcoin is valued at more than $1 trillion, following a nearly 700% surge in the past 12 months. Now, let me ask you this kind of stupid question, Brian. You ready for my lack of intelligence on the topic?
Sure.
All right. If it can surge or go up 700% in 12 months, can it go down? What goes up must come down. How dumb am I, right?
Yeah, you're not dumb. That's exactly right. Well, and you know, here's the deal. Any time it's just it's on paper or it's out here on some spider web or blockchain, whenever it's out there and it's not held in your hand, that market is controlled by whatever they want it to control. And they'll use whatever words, whether it be, money laundering or whatever they're going to do to, here's what's happened here, we got to change this. But as long as it's on paper or digital or something that they can just punch a button, drop that figure. I mean, you just look at everything. I mean, digitally, they can manipulate currencies. They can manipulate anything they really want. And if they want it to drop, they throw something out there, you know, kind of like the spoofing and all the other things. They just do it. So here, that's one more. I'm not surprised. You know.
Wow.
Well, and you look at, if you will, the price of silver. They tell us it's what, $24.50? Is that what you said, Brian? Something like that.
Yeah, $26.50 today. Yep.
Okay, $26.50, and yet, really, you can't even get a silver eagle. You know, the ones for, but $38, which. You know, really tells
not 39,
you at least,
buddy.
Or 39.
You can have another fake Federal Reserve note.
So
to get that done,
you right.
Got to have another dollar.
So the real market is not the same, and so you could call it spoofing or whatever you want to call it. But the bottom line is, hey, they tell you it's one price, but the real world tells you the other price, right?
Yeah, you know, that's exactly right. And peace of mind, realistically, is not bouncing around on this the roller coaster ride based on whatever they want to tell you. If you look at, this is where the metal is, supply and demand is driving it. It's just like anything. When there's a rush on toilet paper and paper towels and so on, well, you're going to pay this right here. Here's your price you're going to pay because there's huge demand. Well, they don't just all of a sudden, okay, well, we're going to drop that price. Well, that's funny. It seems like I'm still paying this price and I can't find it. There's none on the shelf. So it's moronic that they can just say, well, this is really where it is, or tomorrow it could be a dollar or whatever they want to just do with it. And then they throw something out there. Well, okay, we have to do this because of money laundering and people are going to do it. Well, that's funny. I think the government's been money laundering for a long time.
Heard that. By the way, Brian used a great
washing
word.
Machine.
It was called moronic, Kurt. I like that word.
That's right. That would be a good name for, one of the new Bitcoins, maybe.
You're right.
But anyway.
Let me just tell you what I got. Speaking of Bitcoins, Kurt, do you know what the second... Mm-hmm. Bitcoin is like the biggest, digital or whatever you want to call it, cryptocurrency, right? Do you know what the second biggest, largest one is?
Well,
do you know what it's
I'm
called?
Wondering if it's Ethereum, right, or not.
No.
Is that Ethereum? Okay. Well, anyway, go ahead. What is it?
Why, are you invested in Ethereum?
Well, I see a headline from Forbes says, billionaire Mark Cuban, not the cigar guy, but Mark Cuban, the basketball guy. But anyway, reveals why he thinks Ethereum will dwarf Bitcoin as crypto market price hits $2 trillion. So,
email me that headline. I'll add that to the mix. The second largest one right now, at least they claim. It's the second biggest digital currency by market value, they say. It fell over 10% as well. It's called Ether, buddy.
Oh, so, yeah.
You're now, I kind of wonder who's been sniffing the Ether, but that's just me, right?
That's right.
So, Ethereum and Ether.
Like, what the heck? Wow. Ethereum, Ether. Now... It's Ether. That's Ether, right?
Yeah.
That's what's in it.
Now,
it?
I got an opinion, and I could be wrong on this. Maybe I misstated, Kurt. I bet Ethereum and Ether is the same thing.
Maybe.
We need to dig in and find that out. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. I got another cool name for a digital, what do you call that thing? Cryptocurrency for you. Speaking of new names, I got a cool one for you coming up. It started out as a joke.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, back with you live. I got the difference between Ether and Ethereum just for y'all's knowledge. Ether is the coin. Ethereum is the network. So Ethereum is the blockchain technology used behind the Ether currency. So in a sense, they're kind of one and the same, but they're different. One refers to the coinage or the, whatever you want to call it, enumerations of value. The other one relates to the network in which the value travels the globe or is kind of demarked in accounting, if you will. So there you go. That's kind of the difference just for y'all's Bitcoin educational reality check. Now, there's a new coin on the market, ladies and gentlemen, that started out as a joke. And it's awesome. You know what it's called? You know how Kurt always says, "What's up, dog?"
What's up, dog? Yeah.
It's D-O-G-E coin. So it's like Dodge coin, right? But I kind of think of it as like doggy coin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's D-O-G-E-C-O-I-N. So I don't know if it's Dodge coin or doggy coin. But, Dodge coin, I kind of find that interesting. If I want to get out of payments of something, I just send you a Dodge coin. Dodge that one. Thanks for that. Just weird stuff going on. But they say, what is Dodge coin or doggy coin, whatever? How a joke became hotter than Bitcoin, they say. Believe it or not, it's the hottest, quirkiest digital currency on the planet, according to CNN. And the total value of the Dodge coin in circulation is nearly $50 billion. Not bad for a digital currency that started out as a joke. And that's why I kind of joke the jokes on us, because look, you know what? If it started out as a joke and it becomes worth $50 billion, man, no matter what I do, I can't find anything that has any wealth to do anything, hardly. Brian?
Well, hey, Sam, I'm thinking maybe we go back in time a little bit and you can, get into the pet rock thing again and maybe change it just a touch, but that, you know, and then you'd have something there, maybe a pet rock coin or pet rock something that maybe that would go again. We could get that rolling.
Yeah, so it'd be like the rock is the coin, right? And the block is the chain, the currency, you know, network. So you got the rock and the block happening. What do you think of that? It's enjoyed kind of a cult status on the internet too, Kurt. I can't get anybody interested in the sacred cause of liberty. But at the same time, that joke just became worth $50 billion there now. Now, I did ask the question, what's worth more than rhodium per ounce? And our board op slaughtered us all. We got roasted. You ready for this, guys? What is more valuable by the ounce than any digital currency or rhodium or any real value commodity, et cetera? Answer? Freedom.
Oh, good point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Amen. Great point. Yeah. And by the way, then they said, well, what equals that? And I said, your life. The only thing you could give that could be more valuable than liberty would be probably your life. That's why they defend liberty with their lives, right? And that's why we need to defend liberty as well. But anyway, kind of a wise reminder, taking all jokes out of it, or setting jokes aside, if you will. I found that quite interesting. But anyway, so, yeah, I think Ethereum, I think you're right, Kurt, or Ether, whatever, it's the same thing. It is the second largest. Dogecoin is fifth largest, Dogecoin is like the fifth biggest.
Wow.
So what do you think of that?
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just go, what's up? Bought me some Dodge coins. Bought me some doggy coins. It's not doggy, ladies and gentlemen. I just think that when I see it, because it says D-O-G-E-C-O-I-N. That's Dodge coin, I'm sure. Now, D-O-G-E-C-O-I-N, Dodge coin, I guess. But I just look at that, and I just like, doggy coin, you know? Anyway. All right, let's move along, because what'll happen to the money supply? If Trump becomes the next House Speaker and or President in 2023, the idea is gaining traction. Kurt's got details, Kurt.
Well, you know, I mean, at least in my opinion, this is one of the coolest ideas that could come out. You know, lately, if you've been kind of watching the news, you know, or the so-called news, Sean Hannity interviewed the former president. And, you know, I guess Sean Hannity is not aware of this, you know, back, I guess you could say, behind the scenes news, and forgot to ask the president anything about the idea of becoming the Speaker of the House. But anyway, it would have been a heck of a good question, I think. There's a lot of people, they say, behind the scenes that are pushing for this idea. And if you're not familiar with it, ladies and gentlemen, you can look up articles at WorldNet Daily and a few other places. And like I say, a few other places. But they would basically have either the president, the former president, that is, running and being a House representative from Florida, or basically just kind of ramrodding that whole thing, the House takeover by the Republicans, and then being put in as the Speaker of the House, because apparently the rules don't say that they have to be a member of the House to do that. And then the story behind the scenes is the first step would be the impeachment of Biden and Harris and Pelosi, and boy, there's a long list of them. So it could get pretty interesting, don't you think?
Brian, you want to chime in on this one?
I think it's great. Yeah, I mean, that is interesting. I mean, I have not heard of that, but let's weed out the crap, I guess. Sorry to say that, but yeah, let's.
There you have it. I would personally vote for Kirk Crosby or Brian Rust myself.
I'd put Sam in there. That's what
you
I would
run, Kurt?
You know, the thank you, Sam. But the headline from the New American says, idea of Trump becoming House Speaker or President in 2023 gaining traction. So, you know, and they reference in World Net Daily Peace by Joseph Farah, editor-in-chief there, where he, just 4 days after Joe Biden's inauguration, suggested that under certain circumstances, Donald Trump could regain the presidency as early as 2023 prior to his reelection for a full second term in 2024. And this is what how he said it could play out. I tried to kind of summarize it, but it's probably better said this way. He says, in 2022, the American people are expecting Republicans to take the Congress back. It's ever so close right now. He says, Biden is not just making me sick. I'm sure he's having the same effect on multitudes. What's next? Once we have the House and Senate, we can impeach Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for high crimes and misdemeanors, not phony ones like they had to manufacture against President Trump, but real weighty crimes. That would leave House Speaker Kevin McCarthy as President of the United States only temporarily. As President, he could appoint anyone in the interim he chose as Vice President. He would select Donald J. Trump in early 2023, then McCarthy would resign, leaving Trump as President. After all, who would have more experience and wisdom? That's how we could get Trump 5 more years if we play our cards right. That's what basically Mr. Farah from WorldNet Daily, the editor-in-chief, had to say about it.
Well, now this is interesting, Kurt. Thing. You mentioned that they say that it's gaining ground or gaining possibility or whatever you want to say. What was the words exactly used there?
Yeah, something like that. Basically, it's coming along the world or the in this case, it says gaining traction, New American.
Yeah, gaining
article.
Traction was the word. Mm-hmm. All right, well, here's the interesting thing. There's a headline right now in the mainstream press. It was an article written by Tony Perkins of Family Research Council, but the headline says this, a border boiling over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there's one clear point that Trump was right on, that the Democrats really bet the farm against Trump on, and now they're losing, and it's becoming so evident to really everybody. Even the Democrats are now abandoning Biden on the border problems. So what happens is that heats up. That will fuel that discussion even more, Kurt, I think.
Great point. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the Washington Examiner, Paul Bedard there, reiterated this possibility, talking about the whole what could happen. He says, what about former President Donald Trump? Aides said that he is focused on electing friendly Republicans in the 2022 midterms. And if it helps the GOP regain the majority, there's growing support for installing Trump as House Speaker, which is allowed under House rules. The former guy, Steve Bannon, remember, that was the White House chief strategist, speculated on just what would happen if the winds blew Trump into the House as Speaker. He said, we totally get rid of Nancy Pelosi, and the first act of President Trump as Speaker will be to impeach Joe Biden for his illegitimate activities of stealing the presidency.
Well, we're talking about House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy right now, and what he might do and how he might help that come about. Got a little bit of an update on Kevin here in seconds as well. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
South Carolina Republican Senator Tim Scott is planning to reintroduce his police reform bill in the coming weeks. On Wednesday, Scott told reporters on Capitol Hill that he's trying to work across the aisle. Democrats and Republicans both introduced competing police reform bills in 2020, neither of which got very far. Oklahoma Senate Bill 631 will designate Oklahoma as a Second Amendment sanctuary state. Republican Governor Kevin Stitt is expected to sign it this week after approval by the state's House of Representatives. Oklahoma Senator Warren Hamilton.
Modern sporting rifles, 30-round magazines, etc., semi-automatic firearms are things that you can own legally today, and that you will always be able to own those things legally.
When signed into law, the measure would prevent the confiscation of guns from residents in the state due to any new county, state, or federal laws, presidential executive actions, or court orders. USA Radio News.
Police officer down. It's shocking. The number of cops killed in the line of duty jumped almost 100% last year. Defunding police, stripping them of legal protections, woke culture. It's a dangerous time. But Greg Kelly is fighting back. All this week, Greg's on Newsmax TV with his special series, Cops Under Fire. Greg Kelly exposes the real threat to the police and you. Newsmax TV is standing up for our brave men and women. Watch Cops Under Fire on Greg Kelly tonight. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your cable company. Get Newsmax TV free on most smart TVs, Roku, Pluto, Zumo, and YouTube Live. Millions have already downloaded the free Newsmax TV app on their smartphones. Already the fourth highest rated cable news channel in America. Newsmax is real news for real people.
A state of emergency has been declared in some Arizona counties. Tim Berg reports.
Arizona Republican Governor Doug Ducey is declaring a state of emergency in six counties over the recent jump in illegal aliens being detained at the U.S. border. Ducey's office announcing that he'll order up to 250 National Guard troops to the border in the next few days. Things just as bad in Texas, with Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton telling Fox Business,
"Look, it is a humanitarian disaster like I don't know that I've ever seen in my life in the United States, and it's created by policies that were brought on by the Biden administration. I don't think that's the whole reason I think that the Biden administration is avoiding, the president and the vice president are avoiding going to the border. They don't want to draw attention to this. They want to keep it as secretive as possible and continue to bring these illegals through the country and then ship them out somewhere else other than Texas and really all over the country."
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Now you.
All right, so back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Brian Rust on your radio. RustCoinAndGift.com. If you want an honest man in the coin business, there you go. Now, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, "I will bring action against Maxine Waters for inciting violence. If Speaker Pelosi doesn't act against this dangerous rhetoric, I will file action this week." So Kevin is showing some backbone and willing to stand up to some degree. I pray it becomes real and it becomes serious. The problem is, and I don't know where the lines are, gentlemen, and that's why I kind of bring this up to you. You know, where does your free speech rights begin and end? And, you know, can she say what she wants to say? You know, Trump can't go to the Capitol and say peacefully look into vote fraud, go to the Capitol and include your Congress members. If he does, they say he's an insurrectionist. But literally, Maxine Waters can roll into Minnesota, sorry, Maxine Waters can go into Minnesota and literally speak out boldly right in the middle of a crowd that's been known to get violent. And Maxine Waters may have handed Derek Chauvin's defense team a win in appeals court over time. And so it gets very dicey. When can you say things? When can't you? How much freedom does your right to free speech have? Is there any limits on it, etc.? But the duplicitous nature of Maxine's fine, says Nancy. Donald's a criminal and an insurrectionist, says the same group of people. Ocasio-Cortez speaking out very boldly, basically saying, hey, we haven't had justice at all. She wants to see everybody get charged. As you know, they're on a massive rampage. All right, Black Lives Matter founder in Utah. Lex Scott, we need police accountability and transparency. You've got Al Sharpton, Reverend, reacting to the verdict. He says the war and the fight is not over. You've got Ocasio-Cortez going off, saying things. Other lawmakers and celebrities, etc. Not justice, system not working. You got Michael Moore and other Hollywood celebrities. Verdict, more calls for end to policing as we know it after Chauvin murder conviction. Protesters take to the streets following guilty verdict. Nancy Pelosi ignites firestorm by thanking George Floyd for sacrificing his life. Jury pronounces former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin guilty on all counts, which we'll get into in just a second. Do you want to respond to all this, Brian, first?
Yeah, you know, it's what the double standard. It's such a double standard. And what irritates me is the fact of, you know, we just mentioned Kevin McCarthy maybe standing up, trying to do some stuff. But where were all the Republicans, as they say here a year or two ago? Where have they all been? And all this double standard, where are they that we voted and put in office to support us as people and our thoughts and what we'd like to see go forward? And yet there's nothing. There's a few that'll stand up, but where are the ones? Why can't we put a line together and stand and lift where we are and say, you know what, we're going to fight you on all this. You pushed the president out. You wanted to impeach him. You wanted to do this, and let's just name 100 things. And now we're just not going to put up with it. Where are all those people that supposedly have a voice back there? Where are they at?
Kurt?
Well, I'll try to answer that, at least in my opinion. One of the things that you've got here is what Sam has always taught us, and that is he who owns the media makes the rules. You've got people like, I don't know for sure if you want to put Kevin McCarthy in here, but I'm telling you, anybody who doesn't tout the standard Biden, you know, Harris line is pretty much, you know, put to the back of the bus, to use an old phrase. And that's what we've seen. Now, there's some movement there where you got people like the MyPillow guy, you know, basically starting his own, you know, piece of the media, as Sam recommended for years. What's his thing called? I think it's called Frank, if I remember right. And so you can go on there and participate like you thought you could do with, you know, Facebook and, or as Rush Limbaugh used to call it, Fakebook, or, you know, Twitter and all these things. So you've got these new areas where they're learning from what you've taught us, right, Sam? I mean, Frank would be, well, frankly, a pretty good place to share your information, I guess, right?
I think so, and I commend Mike Lindell, and I commend Donald Trump and others for working on starting their own media solution or whatever. But I, you know, it is called Frank, by the way. I've confirmed that's right. I think it's, you know, launching now. Some are making fun of the launch because the launch didn't go perfectly. Kurt, I find this fascinating. If the liberals launch something and it doesn't go well, then they just say, "Oh, don't worry, it's in its beginning stages." Well, when it's this, then they try to make fun of Mike Lindell. I don't think it's funny. I think that they're, hey, when you launch something and people have that much interest in it, you can overwhelm any system, no matter how well you try to plan. If you don't believe me, just ask the Barack Obama healthcare launch. Remember all that fiasco, folks? So let's be very fair. You know what? It's a new enterprise. I commend Mike Lindell. I agree. This is what I've been advocating for quite some time. Donald Trump's working on either, I don't know if he's working with Mike Lindell or if he's doing his own thing, but there's whisperings about Trump creating a new media solution as well. And I commend both of these gentlemen. Kurt?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, doing exactly what you suggested and, you know, participating in this area instead of relying on somebody else, you know, especially our enemies, you know, to get to the public. I mean, why not go there yourself? And you've you've basically done that with your own network and that kind of thing in the past, Sam, and your own difficulties that you've had when you've worked with other network people. And so you've taught these guys. I don't know for sure if they've learned it from you, but they're doing exactly what you've said.
And I commend them, and it doesn't matter if it came from me or not. The idea is phenomenal. I support the idea. Bright minds think alike is how I might call it. I don't want to take credit for it necessarily. I'm just an average Joe doing the very best I can to figure out how to advocate for liberty, how to educate and move forward the sacred cause in a peaceful manner. And I think others are really working hard to do the same thing. And I think sometimes we get this idea in America that no one's doing anything. And I know it feels like that when, you know, our side just doesn't have money and our side seems to struggle and et cetera, et cetera. Our ideas just seem to get shut down and we can't get them out. I know it feels like that. And I certainly think we need more to the party, if you will. Not a political party, but the party of telling the tale of liberty and the free speech party, maybe you call it. I don't know. Anyway, but I agree with the idea that there are a lot of people doing a lot of good things. And this is just proof. We just named two of them, Kurt.
Well, that's exactly right. And then you've got Russ coining a gift. And, you know, you compare it to the coverage of things like Bitcoin, for example. You know, compare honest money, silver and gold, to the coverage that the media gives things like Bitcoin or Ethereum or Ether or whatever those different things are. You know, you pretty much can see the similar kind of thing, right? I see one headline here from Russia Today, which is pretty tough to, you know, find many good things coming out about the quote MyPillow guy, but it says MyPillow guy ramps up crusade against election fraud with new lawsuit against Dominion launching new social platform. Now remember, this is the guy that you know, the Dominion guys basically have already filed, what is it, $1.6 billion lawsuit, just like they did with Sidney Powell and anybody else who was willing to speak up. And now you'll hear virtually nothing from, you know, these, especially the big talk hosts, you know, the Glenn Becks, the Sean Hannity, the Rush Limbaugh, or whatever, about that election fraud, simply because they threaten them with lawsuits, Sam, and yet the MyPillow guy, he's willing to stand in there, as far as I can tell. And this is a guy that was a former crack addict who's now a CEO, and he's willing to do it, man. That's a great guy, I think.
Well, we believe in change, and we believe he's absolutely changed for the better, and we commend him for that. And we also acknowledge that, you know what, it's sad that these companies get sued out of being able to report on what they see as evidential information, etc. Now, Sidney Powell, they've attacked her relentlessly. They even tried to, in my opinion, falsely claim that she backed away from her statements and that she just kind of capitulated and everything else. When you really study the court case in front of you, you begin to understand a whole different narrative that Sidney Powell explains if you know, listen to her side of the story. And I think Kurt has brought up something that's really important. It's important to go to the source, to get their side of the story. You know what? That's probably the best source, as Kurt would say. I agree. It's a great source. I think we need to see that side of the story, whether it be a lot of things that have gone on with Trump, whether it be the things that have gone on with Sidney Powell, and the things that are happening right now with Mike Lindell. They're trying to say he got pranked by a fake caller. They say his, you know, new media thing is failing. It's launched over and over and is failing. But they're really creating distractions because you don't see the other side of the story. We'll talk about it with Brian Rust in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So right before the pause, we were talking about this idea. You know, folks, you need to go to the real source oftentimes. Whether you take that as your only source, you know, that's up for debate. I recommend multiple sources. But getting the side of the story straight from the horse's mouth, if you will, Kurt, I think is one of the key points when it comes to understanding Trump and what he's really trying to do, when it comes to Mike Lindell, when it comes to Sidney Powell, when it comes to a lot of these stories and a lot of these circumstances, you got to really get the other side of the story. And straight from the real source oftentimes has some details and twists where you go, oh, wait a minute, I thought this, but it's really like that. Critical.
Well, you could could almost say that applies to the, for example, our guest Brian Russ, Russ Coin and Gift, when they tell you that the spot price for silver is, what was it, $26.50, and yet you find out that the real price, you know, for an ounce of silver is way higher than that. So, you know, once again, you know, you got to go to the source and you got to find out, hey, what's really the case, look behind the curtains and, you know, get some of that honest money yourself, right?
Yeah, Brian, right. You want to respond?
Yeah, I think you guys are right. And I think there's a lot of good things happening. I agree with you and so on. It's kind of irritating, I guess, in a sense with, you know, those that are sitting there as politicians and so on saying that, you know, they're trying to help the left, but they don't really seem to, I don't know if much of that support is going to stand up for, you know, Mike and others who are trying to make this happen where, well, their voice could really benefit them, you know, and I think, and maybe they are getting some of that voice. I guess I just don't hear much of that. Seems like there was someone like Romney that I voted for or whatever. I look back and say, well, that was a wasted vote. I sure made a mistake there because he doesn't seem to help and support anything that I like. So a lot of talk out there from some of these
great
people.
Point. And, you know, it just shows you the importance like this program and those on this network. When you share that information with people, you know, they, at least so many times I've heard them say stuff like, wow, that's really hopeful, or that's really nice to hear, you know, that kind of story instead of, you know, just the same old doom and gloom by the establishment media. So that's what we've been working on for a long time. And Sam is a great example there, and so many others who've participated to make it work. Right, Sam?
Yeah, and, you know, here's the problem. Do you know what the social media site for Mike Lindell is, Kurt? You know what the actual thing is?
Well, I think they call it Frank's
Speech. You know what the URL for it?
Frank's Speech.
Is it frankspeech.com or is it franksocialmedia.com?
I'm not sure. I'm looking at
it. Anyway, I'm trying to find that out. I went to franksocialmedia.com because I thought that's what it was. But then it looks like it's been kind of hacked or whatever. There's some F-bombs all over it and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not sure if that's the right one.
Frank.com says the voice of Frank of free speech. Thank you for visiting Frank. With over 2 billion requests in just 2 days, the Frank Speech Experiment is a massive success for you. Right now, we're working on new features. Keep checking back. We'll be up shortly. So that's at frankspeech.com. And I'll bet you, like he says, if they say you got 2 billion requests in just 2 days, it's kind of like Brian when he's like trying to find thousands of pieces of silver and he can only find hundreds. He's, you know, a little tough there, you know.
Yeah, it's problematic. And this is kind of the problem, though. You know, I appreciate the launch. I think it's wonderful and everything else. But look, if guys like us can't find the real site, we need a better launch. You know, they need to come on Liberty Roundtable Live and promote it or whatever. People just need to know the URL, right? We'll try to dig into that and find that out.
I'm sure CNN will bring it forward and cover it, you know, like CBS and NBC and
good
ABC.
Point, yeah.
They'll be all
they
covering
got that.
That for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Now, I made a statement yesterday on the program that I think is relevant to what's going on today, too, whether it be the Chauvin, you know, trial or whatever, whether it be social media, whatever. You know, the Democrats, the liberals, the extremists, the communists, the socialists, whatever word you want to use for the left or those who want to divide and destroy America. Here's my headline. Sam Bushman. Communist rhetoric ratchets up. The next stage of rage takes center stage. What's next, Brian? I mean, these people are getting kooky and crazy, and they're threatening life and stability and safety for our whole society now.
Well, that's it. You know, that's what we've been saying here for, you know, as long as I've been communicating with you guys. So, you know, wrong seems to be wrong is right, and right is wrong, and it bounces up all the time, you know, I kind of wrote this little thing down when you were talking a little bit ago, you know, about Biden and the border and all that, but by their fruits you shall know them. Well, I mean, wrong isn't right, and by their fruits we should know that, and most people, I think, you know, good folk probably know that, and so that's kind of my thought is, yeah, what's next? Well, there'll be more next, I'm sure, but by their fruits we should probably identify with what they're trying to accomplish.
Pray for peace, you know, work hard for solutions, find free speech platforms, whatever they are, and use them to educate and to understand. Look, we need a lot more civility in our society, Kurt.
Amen to that. And, you know, just like we've been talking about, apparently, Sam, I mean, imagine you have to go to Russia today to get some of the facts about this whole MyPillow thing. They say that Lindell launched his social media site, frankspeech.com, on Monday, the anniversary of the battles of Lexington and Concord. So I haven't heard that from anywhere else. But anyway, bottom line is he's trying to fight back against the massive power of Google, Facebook, and Twitter, and using your information about you got to have your own networks, you got to have your own way to get to the people, and he's got it figured out, right?
Yeah, I agree. And frankspeech.com is a great, in my opinion, a great name for it. You know, let's be frank about things or whatever else that you know, it's a good name. A good, simple name, frankspeech.com. And they're trying to mock it and everything else. And look, I'm going to give Mike a pass. It's very difficult to set up something that can literally launch without any bugs or any glitches on a massive scale to literally support millions of users. That's very hard to do. And so I don't really begrudge or have any issue with a glitch or two along the way. To me, that should be expected. And we shouldn't be attacking somebody trying to create a free speech platform because they stumble a bit on the way. I mean, come on, how honest and fair is that? And the mainstream people, if you can call them that, the liberals, the whatever, the attackers of Mike Lindell and others, look, they know this, Kurt. They know this full well. And when it's their stuff that doesn't work perfectly, then they, you know, defend it. But in this case, they just attack, attack, attack. I'm not going to attack. I think he'll get it together, give it a little bit of time. There will be a glitch along the way. That's, in my opinion, expected. You're launching something incredibly fast. You're bringing it to the market at warp speed, pardon the pun, because you need a free speech platform because the thugs shut us all down. And you can't blame him for trying to, you know, launch and hey, a glitch here or there, and that's to be expected. I just shrug it off and say no harm, no foul. In a day or two or three or whatever else, it'll be up and rolling, and then we'll have something. The abuse is so bad in our society, though, that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed what he calls a new anti-riot legislation piece. the law criminalizes violent or disorderly riots, obstructing roadways, destroying or toppling monuments, harassment in public accommodations. It also prohibits state funding to local governments that defund the police. Sadly, I think Ron DeSantis is right. I think all those things are already illegal, so I'm not quite sure what legislation can do. We need to take action and arrest the criminals, but at least somebody's trying to do something, Brian.
Yeah, you know, maybe we have to keep saying it and saying it, even though the law is there. It seems like a lot of the, you know, the lot of some of these in power seem to push the fact that that law doesn't exist and let's riot, destroy, and all that because that helps our cause, I guess. But I mean, I just feel like, you know, if the law's there, let's prosecute. And obviously, the media on the other side doesn't want to report any kind of this person was this character doesn't mean anything. I guess if they eight strikes and you're out kind of thing instead of just I don't know. There's just so many issues that are bad, but yeah, bring it up again and just say that wrong is wrong and the law states that you can't do this, so you're out doing this, so you know you should be prosecuted, not given a reward for your, you know, I don't know, for your bad attitudes and all your stuff that you're doing.
Kurt?
Well, it's a great point, and a little more info on at least the good news, if you ask me. You got in the Russia Today story about Mike Lindell, they say that he sells pillows extremely enthusiastically under the brand name My Pillow, and has become one of the most flamboyant corporate spokespeople for the former president. He was not so easily defeated, it says, however, having lined up a string of patriotic guests eager to celebrate the anniversary of the American Revolution, they continued to chat with the loquacious retailer as the site worked to get back online. This is talking about the, you know, Frank speech getting going, and he says we're going to keep going live until the site's functionality returns and users can sign up for Frank Social. So what they've got when you go to that Frank VIP Social, you can see basically a live program going on right there.
Now hold on, what's says, Frank VIP Social? Is that frankspeech.com?
Yeah, well, it's Frank, yeah, that's right, frankspeech.com, but they call it VIP, I think it's just...
I understand. Let me tell you why I spend so much time on the URL, because I believe that what they're trying to do is they're trying to make you believe that a bunch of other URLs are mics, and that they've failed, and that they're swearing, and that there's this, and there's that, and there's all these things on those sites.
Good point.
In an effort to try to dissuade you from being involved and or signing up and giving him a launch that they can't deny is huge and successful. And so I believe they're chipping away at Mike's efforts here, and I want to guard against that is the point.
Yep, good point. It says Lindell has another trick up his sleeve as well, announcing on Monday that he would be suing Dominion Voting Systems, a company that makes voting software, for its alleged suppression of speech and attacks on Lindell's company, MyPillow. The $1.6 billion lawsuit came in response to DVS's, or that's Dominion Voting Systems, own hefty lawsuit, which targeted not only MyPillow, but Lindell himself, allegedly causing harm. So, you know, what he's doing basically is he's not going away like and being all quiet like so many others. He's just going right back at him. And when you see that, you just say, hey, man, that's exactly what we need. You know, imagine Mike Lindell. I guess you could say as a vice president for President Trump. I mean, boy, that'd be lively, wouldn't it?
Well, and there's a lot of other people trying to work on media solutions as well. Ben Swan is working on a solution. We've known Ben Swan from Truth in Media for quite some time. They're working on their media solution. So there are people getting into the game, and I commend all of them. Brian, thank you so much, sir.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me on, Sam. We'll get you at Speaker of the House. I think that'd be a good place.
Whoa, I'm vying for Brian and Kurt and Cameron and everybody else. I'll just stay on the radio and support y'all. That's how I'll roll. Hey, thank you, Brian.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
There he goes. Doing a phenomenal job as always. Brian Rust, rustcoinandgift.com. If you want someone to steer you right when it comes to precious metals, Brian, beat a man. Thank you so much. If you want raw honey delivered directly to your door, how about raw honey and coins delivered to your door? RushCoinAndGift.com, LocalHoneyMan.com. I am Sam Bushman. God save the Republic of the United States of America.